Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We gather at a solemn occasion, an opportunity to remember our children who are lost because of miscarriage, stillbirth, or tragic death. And I would like to meditate on one story of Scripture that I believe can guide us in this sacred act. Before I do that, I'd like to say something about our reading of the stories of Scripture. Sometimes I think we read the Scriptures too quickly. It's understandable. We are busy people. We have a lot of tasks. We have very little time. And so we learn to read efficiently. We get to the point. And when it comes to a story, we skip over a lot of the details because we want to get to the end. I mean, why waste time on the details in the middle when you can see how it all turns out in the end? And some things are good about that, because the end of all of our stories in Christ is beautiful. There is nothing in this world, no suffering, no sickness, no sadness, no death, no disaster, no darkness, no destruction, nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And it is good to hold on to that end and see that, hallelujah. But it's not good to hold on to that end and let go of all of the stuff in the middle. Because you know what? We live a lot of our lives in the middle. And sometimes it is a long road to that alleluia. In order for joy to come in the morning, you need to endure the weeping that lasts a night. And in order for mourning to be turned into dancing, well, before you can waltz, you have to walk and stumble in a procession to a grave. Spending time with the details in the middle may help us in the lives that we lead there. And so I would invite you to meditate with me on a story of Scripture. We're going to look at the middle. It is the story of Elisha and the Shunammite woman. That is in 2 Kings chapter 4. You can find it in your pew Bible, page 310. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now the story begins in joy when God gives this woman a child, and the story ends in joy when God raises that child from the dead. But we're going to be in the middle, starting at verse 27. And when she came to the mountain, to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. It's been a very long journey for her. 20 miles on a donkey. After her son died, the first thing she did was saddle that donkey and grab a servant and start a 20-mile journey to Elisha. Her husband asked her why she was going, and she really didn't answer. She just said, "Shalom. All is well." When Elisha sees her coming to the mountain, he sends Gehazi out to greet her and ask her, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your son? Shalom, shalom, shalom." And she says, "Shalom. All is well." But when she sees Elisha, she throws herself in the dirt and grabs his feet, and it is obvious to anyone who has eyes to see that it is not all well. And at that point, the story turns our eyes to Elisha. And Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." The Lord hides something from his prophet. Now that's odd. Normally the Lord helps prophets see. That's kind of the way it works. The prophets see the future and they preach it, right? The Lord has hidden something from Elisha, which means that Elisha will not know what is happening unless he takes time to listen. The Lord won't reveal it except through the words of this woman. And Elisha takes time. Gehazi, he tries to push her away, and Elijah creates a space for silence, a silence filled with care. He doesn't probe, he doesn't ask questions, he doesn't try to figure out, he simply waits. And his presence is there to receive whatever it is that she should offer. And that is the holy silence that is being created among us today. A time to receive. And that's important. I can remember on one hand the number of times my dad hit me. The first time was after Christmas. I was supposed to be picking up the needles of the tree that had got stuck in the rug and didn't come up with the vacuum cleaner and put them in a bucket. But it had snowed. And it was so much more fun to fill that bucket with snow and build myself a fort outside. And so there I was without any winter clothing building this fort, and my dad came out to explain to me what I should be doing. We got into an argument. I ran into the house. He ran after me. His feet were wet, so he slipped. He hit his toe on the wall and broke his toe, and by the time he got a hold of me and hit me, he broke his finger. So the first time I was hit, my dad broke things in himself. And the second time I was hit, he broke something in me. We were sitting at table at dinner, and the conversation turned to a friend of the family who had lost a child in pregnancy. And I asked my mom, "Have you ever had a miscarriage?" And my dad got up and smacked me and said, "You never, ever ask that question of a woman, ever." And he sat down, and I couldn't leave. I had to sit there in the shame of what I had done. That's how I learned to be silent while people suffer. And that's why this moment is so beautiful. Because God creates another silence that is not a silence out of shame, or a silence out of a fear of not having the right answer, or a silence out of not knowing what to say or not wanting to deal with it. It's a silence that comes out of love, that knows that there will be some things that will never be heard unless somebody listens in a holy, patient presence, willing to receive whatever it is you have to offer. That's the care-filled silence that is part of our work today. Now, just as there is something that will never be heard if nobody listens, so too there is something that will never be said if no one has the courage to speak. And at this point, for the last time, our text turns us to the woman. I'd like to look at verse 28 and 30. "Then she said, 'Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me. Do not lull me into peace. Do not secretly bring me into this rest. Do not make me think that life is going to be beautiful and easy. Did I not say, do not deceive me? And then, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. I'd like to reflect on the courage and the commitment of that woman. The courage to talk about her son when she has not even told her husband. She had received this beautiful letter of life from God, and the opening words of that letter were heartbreaking in their beauty, but God left the sentence unfinished. And now she's on a path that she never intended to journey, holding on to an unfinished letter that she can never, ever throw away. And it is a long road for her to Alleluia. But she has the courage to speak, to ask these questions. And they are not questions that need to be answered. They are questions that simply need to be heard. And she has commitment to a community where the Lord lives. As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. I will be completely transparent and honest and open about my suffering, and I will not leave, because in this place, the Lord lives. That's the other beauty of this act that we do today. We gather as a community where the Lord lives. This is not like the world where people ask you how things are going and you say, all is well, all is well, all is well. No. This is a place of radical honesty where you are right when you say, all is not well. But it's also a place of radical trust, because this is the place where the Lord lives. You see, God didn't just put Jesus at the end of our story. He put him right in the mess in the middle. That's where he died and entered into the grave and went into hell and rose again, so that we would know that there is no place in this world that we can ever go that will not be filled with Christ's presence. And so we gather today. Some are here in a holy silence to wait and to listen, and others the Spirit will lead forward with a courage to be honest and to speak. But all of us are a community who live in radical honesty about what is happening and radical trust in a Lord who lives. Yes, all is not well. And it is a long road to Alleluia. But the Lord lives. And he walks with you every step of the way. Amen.